It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell this morning. John Horton is here, the Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank. John, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning. Beautiful studios, by the way, my friend.
Thank you. Well, as I told your colleague last week, we did this for you.
I appreciate it.
To make you impressed.
Very nice. The marching band wasn't necessary, right. But we'll take whatever we get.
I want to begin today with a couple of reports that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. Existing home sales are down. Does this have to do with inventories we've been talking about?
You know, it does, and that seems to be an ongoing problem. Everything seemed to be chugging along, and then it slowed down a little bit, and then the homes started to sell, and the inventory is just not keeping up with the demand right now. It's just, I know we've talked previously, and usually you get these ebbs and flows, but this seems to be ebbing. It's not flowing away. That inventory is still pretty light on the market.
When you look at it overall, the number of people closing on contracts is about, what, 5.5 million?
About 5.5 million, correct. And it's down a little bit. I think it declined like a 0.5%. Mm-hmm. So wasn't anything crazy when you're talking 5.5 million being a big number, 0.5%. But, you know, for those that are selling their homes and those that want to move, that 0.5% is a lot bigger to them than it might be to us.
Yeah, because I was going to ask is, you know, from just a general snapshot, is that a healthy job housing market still or no?
You know, If you're looking for the immediate hit, you know, we were talking earlier that a lot of people right now may want to move but are afraid of those multiple offers, which is something I never thought I'd ever say in the real estate business, afraid of multiple offers. But if you're not lined up with somewhere to go, we have clients, several clients at Associated Bank that, you know, that took that offer and then all of a sudden they couldn't find a place because what they wanted was either gone, there was nothing, their dream home wasn't ready, so they're in a hotel, they're living with relatives, so... You know, it's one of those things that you're going to see it. They're expecting the inventory to go up towards the end of the year. It's kind of the outlook. So it could be a pretty steady fall and winter.
I've always wondered what happens in that situation. I guess the hotel's one option. Nowadays, you think Airbnb? Do you think people are going to stay in Airbnb?
Airbnb, there are a lot of options. Yeah. It's almost like instead of a taxi, take an Uber. You know, hotels, I think people may prefer an Airbnb or maybe a short-term rental. On the flip side, you do have people that are looking at renting properties. One of our clients lucked into it. He found a 4-month rental and it was a home, which is nice because you can move in, you can cook, you can eat, and you're not going out to eat all the time. So it's one of those things where there's other options. You just have to be prepared when you're signing that paper.
The drop in sales, according to the latest report, single family homes and cheaper properties, a decline in those sales.
Yeah. They, you know, they're saying that it, depending on the market in that survey, the price point they were going at that are still moving quicker is the $250,000 price point and above. And the reason that is we kind of go back to the millennials. They have the good jobs. They've saved the money. They've lived on the couches, so they have the assets to put down. So they are in a home not for 3 to 5 years. They may be in a home for 7 to 10 years. The kind of startup first-time home has a new definition with a lot of people moving into nicer homes that they plan on raising a family, moving into school districts. We're finding clients that are maybe not even married, but are looking at school districts before they purchase a home. They're looking that far into it.
How do you move those properties that are at that $250,000 or lower threshold?
You know, it is something, and I know Associated Bank has CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, and the low to mod income areas are very strong in moving. And the issue with those is there might be some credit issues, there might be some down payment issues. That's where you need to talk to your lender. There are some down payment assistance programs. We have a CARE program. So there's a lot out there that is not as advertised as it should be. So it's not as bad as it seems. If you get with the right lender and sit down and talk, you're going to be able to see there's an opportunity for you.
90% of the residential real estate market, existing home sales account for that. Existing home sales account for 90% of the residential real estate market. What about new home sales? I know the housing starts were up just a little bit, weren't they, recently?
Housing starts were up. New construction was off the charts here until about a month ago. Associated Bank has a phenomenal new construction program, but what was happening, as the economy got better, some of those builders that could build for $250 a square foot are now up to $325 a square foot, not mainly for their profit, but just for materials and for things like that. And people are like, you know what, I can get an existing home that's maybe a year old, that's right what I want, and not have to do that increase in the build. But construction loans are still very, very strong.
We talk about prices of homes. I think the latest home price report from Case-Shiller, Chicago was at the very bottom of that list. Our home prices have gone up just about 3%, I think, year over year, while everybody else is moving to double digits almost.
Yeah, and you're looking at some of that, and again, we talked about it before, is there's a lot of people moving out of the state. There's a lot of people in Northwest Indiana. It takes you the same amount of time to get downtown as it does if I lived in Schaumburg, or, mm-hmm. or maybe if I lived in the city and worked in Schaumburg, where the taxes are lower, the cost of living is less. So you're kind of seeing people, it's not as a trigger reaction as it used to be. I like that house, I'll buy that house, I'll get my financing, things are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what, what's going to go on in 5 years? What's going on with my pension? Where can I retire?
Right.
You get to that age where it's, you're not, you might be thinking of schools, but you get a lot of people, a lot of the empty nesters right now. If they don't need the school system, they may as well go somewhere else where they can make a little bit more money on their money.
But I'm still confused. If the housing market is so tight, why that number isn't going up? Because you would think if the market's tight, people could be able to move up those prices a little bit.
Right. It's a tough question.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's almost like a circle. The market's tight, they can move up their prices. Well, yeah. We're down, we're only moving 3%, but the market's homes aren't selling, or homes above 250 are selling, and it's not budging.
I saw a report about the number of vacant properties. The Midwest just jumps off this report. So many vacant properties. I mean, running from residential, some areas are residential, others are commercial, shopping centers, office towers. Why is the Midwest? Does this, again, go back to that conversation about people are moving out of the Midwest? Or
it could be the Midwest. It could be the weather. You know, and I thought that was really interesting. And again, it's something, depending on how you look at it, you're in a circle. They're not going to start selling homes till the commercial properties are full. Well, if the commercial properties are full, they're going to start selling homes. Depending on the number of people that are living in some of these massive commercial buildings, some they're turning into apartments. And then once those start to fill up with renters, now you're going to see some grocery stores, some bars, some restaurants come in. But one is hinging on the other, and the other is hinging on the other. So you're going to need to see the residences start to get full before those commercial properties will start to pack up.
The report focused on Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Cleveland, among some of the others. There are so many of these parts of the communities, of these communities that have these empty, let's talk about residential places right now. Do we need more programs to get those properties fixed up to where they're saleable again?
I think you do, because what you're finding is a lot of those homes that are going are sold to investors. So it is not someone that's going to go in and it's my primary residence and I'm going to take absolute care of it. What happens when those investors buy it, those areas become poverty and unemployment. So that is not helping anybody. It doesn't have the home ownership feel. Great, the investor buys it. How well is he going to take care of it? Is he going to get in? He's going to get some renters in there. So then you're looking at just the opposite. Well, if it's unemployment and poverty, do I want to put a strip mall? Do I want to put a bar? Do I want to put a restaurant? It's just not going to last.
I saw another report on the positive effects of home ownership. This is, whenever I talk to you about this, I always see the look on your face, like the one right now.
I can't believe you just said the word positive, first of all.
Because you, what else do I expect you to say to this question about is home ownership positive?
But, yes, it is, Steve. Yes. Thanks for asking.
Go ahead.
You know what? It's one of those things where you're seeing a lot of folks that are buying homes. They have the pride in ownership. You know, you fill up an empty area, it's going to reduce the crime. You're going to have the neighbors. You're going to have the neighborhood watch. You're going to have a need for public assistance. You're going to have improvements in education. The schools, you get enough kids, the schools are going to improve. So it really is almost a trickle-down effect. If people go in and keep the community the way it should be, have pride in their home, it's kind of contagious. It's like you have that really cool neighbor that you want to be. You know, he's a nice guy. I want to be in that neighborhood. And that goes down to the kids. You know, they ride their bikes down to the store. Now that the neighborhood's full, the stores are going to be built. Mm-hmm. So now it's more of a community feel.
The report I was talking about is the, if you want to go find it, Social Benefits of Home Ownership and Stable Housing by the National Association of Realtors. You mentioned reductions in crime and the social benefits. There's also physical benefits of home ownership. I was surprised that we all know that having your own home probably makes you feel better, but there's some physical aspects to making you healthier.
Well, number one, if you have a big lawn, that'll keep you healthy,
right?
Because you'll be out there cutting the grass. But you know what? You do feel better. You know, the best thing, and I've done it for almost 30 years, is going to closings. When you go to a closing for a first-time home buyer, or even not a first-time home buyer, the look on their face is absolutely priceless. Mm-hmm. It's priceless. So that carries on. They feel good about themselves. They want to keep the house, you know, up to snuff. I think it has a lot to do with it. It really, people devalue what it can actually physically do for you to buy a home.
You've seen many years of ups and downs, and I bet all kinds of stats. Is there any constant in this area of statistics?
No. I mean, every month when I come in here, it's completely different. You know, and even some mornings you'll come in and there'll be a different story. The constant is if you really like what you do and you're there for the client, that's the constant. I mean, if you look at some of the lenders at Associated Bank, month after month after month, same number. Some a little higher, some a little lower. Little roller coaster, but those are the people that really take care of clients, that build a good customer base, that educate the clients, which is a huge issue. There was a story, an article a couple of weeks ago. 13% of the millennials that bought a house felt comfortable in the home buying process. I'm not a mathematician, but that's 87% that didn't feel comfortable. Right. That falls back on us. They weren't educated in the process. So those 83 that didn't feel comfortable may never go through the process again. So it really comes down to, we've talked about it before, back to the basics. How can we help you? You might not be ready now. Let's talk again in a month or in 2 months. So really, the education could keep this system. People have to move. They have to build a house. They're going to get transferred. So the constant, I think, is just being an advocate for your customer, for your realtor, for your builder, and making sure that your customers like that process.
For your role in the process, how, if I came in and said, hey, I'm a millennial and I don't feel really good about this, how would you make me feel comfortable?
I mean, why don't you feel comfortable? I mean, why don't you like the process? And I would guarantee you 99% of the time, complete misconception. You might say to me, because I don't have 20% to put down in a house. I said, Steve, you can do it with 3. You know, you can do it with 5. Yeah. Well, that is going to take one big obstacle. Once you knock that major obstacle out of the way, completely opens it up. And when they walk out completely satisfied with a little more knowledge, what are they going to do? They're going to go back to that water cooler at Google and tell all their fellow millennials it's not as bad as you think.
This is kind of a personal aside. I've thought about moving, but okay. I don't want to pay a higher interest rate.
Don't be silly. The better the tax write-off, right. Steve.
Well, that's what they say, but do you find a lot of people saying that, hey, listen, I think I would like to move, but I don't want to pay a higher rate.
And again, it comes back to the conversation. You could be at 4. Well, rates right now, again, depending on credit appraisal and everything else, could be 4 3/8. Depending on if you've been in a home for a while, you may have phenomenal equity. You could put down X a month. Your payment may be the same. I mean, I'm put down for your down payment. Mm-hmm. Your payment might be the same. If it's a quarter higher, depending on the dollar amount, it might be $23 a month higher. So as big of a jump as there's been, obviously, depending on the loan size, you're going to have an increased payment. But depending on the equity, you might be right where you were.
And remind us again how high interest rates can go on homes. You've seen it probably 11, 12.
Oh, my God. I mean, 4 3/8 is nothing. I've seen them at 17%. So it's millennials, and I hate using that term because I keep referring back to it. They've never seen 4 3/8. They've never seen a pager. So, I mean, they're not used to being able to pick up their phone and watch a movie. They think 4 3/8 is, oh, my God, this is terrible. So it's education and common sense, man. It really, really is.
John, always good talking with you. Thanks for coming into our new place, and we'll see you next time.
Real quick, I want to end this on a positive note. 86% of current renters want to own a home. 96% feel it'll be a great idea. So there's something positive for you, man.
And to feel more comfortable, call John.
You got it.
All right, thanks, John.
Thanks, bud.
John Horton is the Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it for you every Thursday. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGN Radio on the Opening Bell page, and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. You can also head over to associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.